outside, but something's brought the coldness in here today. Turn with me, if you would, to Ezekiel chapter 37. I've got no outline. I've got no preparation in this by any means. I've prepared something else this morning, but God won't leave me alone. So I'm going to do what he says. I've heard about this passage being preached many times. In my lifetime, I can't honestly say that I've ever heard it preached. It's a popular passage, especially when I was growing up. Heard a great deal of preachers go on about a message they'd heard from Lester Roloff, a message they'd heard from some other preachers throughout the years about this passage. And I can't honestly say that I've ever actually remember hearing it preached, but God won't leave me alone about this morning. Please stand with me, Ezekiel chapter 37. I have no idea where we're going. I know the passage, and when we get to reading, some of you will probably be familiar with it as well. But I ask you just to open up your heart, that wicked, old, vile heart that we've got. Open it up and let God bring a broom and do something this morning. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up the flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. And breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come up out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And this verse is special, I want you to look at. And shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I don't know what it is you want done today, God. I just know that you want to do something. Lord, I don't want to get in your way. So I'm asking you, God, to help me, Lord. Lord, I pray, God, you'd speak to your people. I pray, God, that you would do what only you can do. Lord, and I ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Please be seated. Been going through Deuteronomy, and that's where we were going to be this morning. Been going through it, been going through Genesis with the teen department. So the Old Testament. You know, we don't live in the Old Testament. We're a New Testament Bible-believing Baptist church, right? Amen. And the Old Testament, though, has, well, it's got a lot of grace in it. It's got a lot of God's mercy. It's got a lot of God's love. Yeah, it's got a lot of God's judgment in it, too. And we see all that through one group of people, the children of Israel. God chose them out when he picked Abram out of Ur of the Chaldees. God chose them and worked his hand and his plan through various men throughout the years as generation would go by to the next generation. And you guys know, I mean, Jacob had all the boys, and Joseph ended up being the second most powerful man in all the world, used by God to save Israel and his children. And then 400 years later, they were enslaved, and God uses all these things for a picture, and he uses Israel. And, you know, if we're a New Testament Bible-believing church, then why do we have the Old Testament, right? I mean, because literally, we could take the New Testament and we could live a pretty good life looking at the New Testament. We could live a pretty full Christian life looking at the New Testament, letting God speak to us in the New Testament. But that's not what God chose to do. God chose to give us the Old Testament for some reason, right? We've got it for some reason. So, you know, and I try, and as I read it, I try and make sure that I'm differentiating between grace and law, because, you know, there's a huge difference between grace and law. And so as I try and read it, I try and let the Lord and the Holy Spirit show me these things. And so we're going through Deuteronomy right now, and Deuteronomy is a remembrance. Deuteronomy is a look back from Exodus until Numbers, and what God had done, and how he had worked and moved, and I can't help but see. And then, you know, listen, I grew up in church. I've heard most of the stories, if not all of the stories, about the children of Israel's exploits over the 40 years. And then as they went king to king to king in Kings and in Chronicles, and how they would be with God and they go away from God. They'd be with God and they go away from God. They'd be with God, they go away from God. And it was just a constant, reoccurring thing. Amen? And, you know, but while that would go on, I mean, listen, the book of Judges is like a roller coaster ride. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Joshua, in the book of Joshua, we see them being very victorious. They've come out of Egypt, and listen, God brought them out, as the Bible says, in many places with a high hand. They come out rejoicing, and they come out excited about what God had for them, only to be discouraged as soon as they saw what God had for them, because there were obstacles in the way. And so then they waste 40 more years, okay? I was talking to the teens this morning. Before we even get to that, Jacob wasted 20 years that he could have been serving God. We waste so much time because we choose us over God. We choose what we want over God. We choose how we think things should be over God. Maybe even like Jacob, we'll ask God for help and then go ahead and do it ourselves. We'll ask God for some intervention and then we'll take matters in our own hands. And I can't honestly say I've seen a moment in the Bible where someone's taken matters in their own hands and it's worked out real good for them. Quite the opposite. There's ramifications that are still going on today from some of the examples we see in the Old Testament of people just taking matters into their own hands instead of following God. But God shows us all this in the Old Testament. Children of Israel get to the promised land, and Joshua takes them over, and you guys, man, seriously, think about this. Think about marching around Jericho. This is a wall so wide that a chariot could ride across of it, okay? Ride on the top of it, around the city, all right? Now, I don't know how many horses would pull the chariot. One, two, I don't, it's a chariot, okay? It's as wide as a compact car at the very least. That's a big wall. It had to be kind of big. Folks lived in it, okay? And so to imagine walking around this city with the expectation that it's going to fall. Listen, when it comes down and God gives you the victory over that, that'd be a pretty exciting time, wouldn't it? I mean, because listen, the ones that marched around the wall of Jericho, they were not the same ones that watched the heaps of the Red Sea part. Okay? There might have been a few of them that saw it as kids, but listen, there's a lot of things I saw as a kid that right now may seem like a dream to me because I just don't remember it very well. I may remember the incident a little bit because it may have been a great incident, but I don't remember all the ins and outs of it or the experience of it as if I was to experience something great and mighty right now. You understand what I'm saying? So the children of Israel that marched around Jericho were not the same children of Israel. Those people paid a price for not believing God. And so these people are new. And now God is just constantly encouraging them. Look, just trust me, just trust me, just trust me. Just go in there. Listen, walk around the city. I'm going to bring the walls down and give you the victory. Go to the next city and I'm going to give you the victory. Well, okay, not Ai, obviously. Why? Well, because somebody, there's always somebody, you know? There's always somebody that's got to mess things up. And the thing is, we like to sit there and point our fingers at Achan, okay? We like to say, well, there's another Achan right there. And a lot of times we're failing to look in the mirror because Achan's right here. Amen? So, God gives us all these examples. And so they take Jericho and God gives them Israel. Listen, let me tell you something. This was a mighty time in the land of Israel. This is a great and wonderful time. I mean, God was their God. God was their king. God was taking care of them. God had put them in the promised land. They're abundant, flowing with milk and honey, grapes the size of your head. Wonderful place, okay? I know we talked about that. I just would love to have a grape that big. Okay, I would like to have a baked potato that big. We had one close that last night. It was pretty big. But the children of Israel, man, they had it good, didn't they? Didn't they? I mean, they had the opportunity to experience what not to do because a lot of them watched their parents not believe God. And so God now is encouraging them. And all along the way, God is telling them I've given you the victory. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Just trust me. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Just trust me. Just keep going. Just keep going. Don't be afraid. But what you got to do is you got to do it like I say. You got to do it like I say. You got to get in there and you got to take everything out. You got to get rid of the sin. You got to get rid of the old inhabitants. You can't let anything stick around. If you let it stick around, it's going to pull you away from me. And God told them that. And so here they are, they're following God, they're trying to do what God wants to do, and eventually though, because they didn't do it all the way, what happens? Well, they start to apostatize. The start of it to me was when they started asking for a king. Why? Well, they wanted to be like everybody else. How'd they know what everybody else was like? Because they were too close to the world. Amen. So they wanted a king. So they get their king. What does the king do? Well, the king just corrupts things. Even David brought pestilence to the land. I mean, the one after God's own heart. Because why? Because men are a miserable mess. And ladies, you could have said amen there, but I'm talking gender proof here, okay? People are pathetic. Why? We always, always, always seem to look out for what we want instead of what God wants. That's what the children of Israel ended up doing. And they ended up apostatizing. First, the 10 tribes of Israel, Judah stuck in there a little bit. But man, if you'll read through Kings and Chronicles, man, it's amazing to watch as one king would be. Actually, there was a lot more bad kings than there was good kings as you go through those books. A lot more kings that took the children of Israel away from God and set up false idols and whatnot than there were those that turned to God and tore all that stuff down. But every time that they would turn to God, he'd take them back. Every time they turned to God, he'd take them back. Now, it got to the point to where God had to say, well, they're not going to take me, but they're not going to call me back right now, so I'm going to send them into 70 years of bondage. It remind them of how it is without me. Because see, even when we're messing up, God's good to us. Seriously, come on now. Even when I'm not doing things the way that I'm supposed to, God's still good to me. But there does come, listen, we do presume upon his grace too much sometimes. And the children of Israel had presumed upon his goodness. And he had to send them, take them, and they had to be. And that's where, this is Ezekiel's time frame. This is Ezekiel's time frame. A lot of history. A lot of history for the children of Israel. Ups and downs, great victories, horrible defeats. But throughout every bit of it, every time they'd done it God's way, things were good. Listen, when we're doing it God's way, even if things seem bad, they're still good. Because God is good to us. And so here Ezekiel's doing what God has told him to do. And now, listen, this is a spiritual experience that Ezekiel's going through here. Okay, God took him somewhere in the spirit. So God's trying to show him something. And so he takes him to this valley of dry bones and bones that were separated. I mean, listen, bones that were broke up. Things just were in disarray, okay? They were not just bones, they were dry bones, all right? This wasn't just dead, this was real dead, okay? They weren't just mostly dead, okay? They were all the way dead. And so God says to Ezekiel, he says, can these bones live? And Ezekiel had a very good answer. You know. He says to God, you know. Basically, and which was a good answer because, Lord, you're going to show me something here. So, show me. And so then God tells Ezekiel, okay, I want you to prophesy to him. Preach to him. Tell him I'm God. I am Lord. Preach to old dry bones. And so he does. And as he's preaching, he hears this sound. And things start to happen. Bone starts joining to bone. And he keeps preaching. And now sinew and muscle is starting to form on the bone. And he keeps preaching. Skin comes on him. Be a really weird sight, you know what I'm saying? As a preacher, to see something like this, it'd be really weird. So he's sitting there and he's preaching to them. Here they are. They're not bones anymore. They're sitting there. Now they're corpses. They were. And God says to Ezekiel, he says, now preach to the wind. So Ezekiel preaches to the wind. And this mighty spirit wind comes into this valley and breathes life into these corpses. And now, standing where a bunch of old dry bones stood, is a mighty army for God. And the children of Israel, God knows them. He even says, and they're going to tell you they're hopeless, they're lost. There's no help for them. Why even try? Why even try, preacher? There's no sense in it. This is what God is telling Ezekiel, the children of Israel are going to say. Why even try? We're a bunch of old dried up bones, can't do nothing anyways. We're dead. Just leave us to ourselves. God says to Ezekiel in this verse here, and you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Children of Israel, we're about to have a great revival. God was going to take them back home to the promised land, put them back where they belong. Well, that's what he's showing Ezekiel. Now, that's all Old Testament, preacher. What's that got to do with us? Maybe you're thinking that, maybe you're not. That's what I'm thinking when I'm reading this morning. Okay, God, what's that got to do with us? We're about to celebrate our 52nd year here at Faith Baptist Church. 52 years is a little bit of time. I was talking to somebody the other day. And their church had had several preachers over the last 20-some-odd years that their church had been in existence. It's a rare thing to be in existence for 52 years and only have three preachers. It's a rare thing. No, I didn't come here till 98. When I got here in 98, I'd say there was probably close to 150 members here at Faith. But I had the privilege of sitting around and talking with folks like Charlie Hilton. Brother Williams. Y'all remember Brother Williams? Of course, Brother Barnes. How you percolate? Don't forget my Grandpa Bill. This church was used mightily of God in the late 60s, throughout the 70s. I wasn't here, I don't know. But if I'm not mistaken, the church used to run well over 500 people, didn't it? Yeah? There's some of you who were around for that, right? Now, I don't know what happened. I don't know. We don't run 500. We're at about 10% of that. Why? Don't know. Are we a valley of old dead bones? Because I got to be honest with you this morning. For some reason, it sure felt dead in here. Now, maybe it's me. This church has got a lot of history. I've loved sitting, and I've let Brother Gore's given me stories, and Grandpa Bill, and Brother Bob Laughlin, and Brother Fred. These fellows have told me stories about, you know, when the buses were running hundreds, and the church was vibrant, and things were happening, and folks were coming, and families were joining, and boy, it all sounds really good, doesn't it? Sounds really good. I'd like to experience some of that. But I can't have what they had. That's gone. I don't get to experience what they had. The thing is, the God that used them back then, he's still sitting on the same throne he was sitting on back then. He's still the same God. And while times have changed, they have. Times have changed. We don't live in the same world today as it was in the 60s and the 70s and even the 80s. Listen, I grew up in a church that was ever bit that big. I mean, running 600 was a normal thing throughout the 80s. But society is definitely different, but God's not. God's still God. And the children of Israel did something. They did something to get to the point they were at to be held captive in Babylon, because this is where they're at right now, by the way. And while God was going to take them home, we can look at this and say, well, yeah, he's going to take them home, but the revival that he's talking about still hasn't happened yet, okay, that Ezekiel is being showed. God's going to use Israel to turn this world upside down once again. He's going to. But why can't God use me to turn this world upside down right now? Why can't God use Faith Baptist Church to turn this world upside down? There's got to be a problem. There's got to be a problem. And listen, I don't want to be around dead people. Creepy. I can honestly say I don't like going to graveyards and hang out. It's not my thing. I don't do it. I don't foresee me doing any time in the future because they're dead. They really aren't going to help me in any way, shape, or form. Well, if we're nothing but a graveyard of Christians, who's going to want to come hang out with us? If we're nothing but a bunch of old dead bones, who's going to want to come here? Now, am I calling us dead bones? I guess I must be. I guess I must be. God's been good to Faith Baptist Church. He's been really good to this church. And I don't think that we're here by accident, out here in Greenfield, okay? Because there might be some, well, if we'd have stayed down there, then God could have used us down. No, I don't think it's an accident that we're out here. I don't. I think that we've gone through some stuff. God's got us here. But the thing is, we need some life breathed into us. Don't we? Come on now. We need some life breathed into us, don't we? I want some life breathed into me. I want God to breathe life into you. Now, how's that going to happen? Well, apparently I got to keep preaching. Even when I don't feel like it. Because let me tell you something, I have not felt like it this morning. Just being honest. But God wants to breathe life into us. Where did the children of Israel mess up? Well, as simply put as I can think, as they stayed too, and I did make simply into three syllables. It's very hard to do. You have to be careful. Simply put, we're too close to the world. The children of Israel were too close to the world. They were too close to the things that were taking them away from God. And I know we live in this world, but Titus tells us that we're supposed to live in this world, but we're supposed to live separated. We're supposed to live holy, godly, not living after the flesh like we've talked about plenty in Romans. So, okay. So maybe we're not a bunch of dried up bones. Maybe we're not a bunch of dried up bones. Maybe God has actually put some bone on bone and folks are starting to feel like God might be able to use them again. Okay, then let him breathe some life into you. Now, how's God going to breathe life into you? Well, you might have to listen to the preaching. I know sometimes it's hard. I know it is. And I know sometimes you don't feel like it. And I'm not saying, you know, listen to Pastor Hoff. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying listen to God. Listen to God. And don't just listen. Don't just say, okay, well, that was a good message. Okay, you know, God's word's right there. Don't just say that stuff. Go out and live it. Go out and let God breathe life into you. The only way it's going to breathe life into you is if you let it hit you and you let it absorb into you and you take it. You got to take what God says to you and then you got to do it. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. And I know that if we'll do that, what's going to happen is, because see, God's plan, just like we talked about last week, God's plan for the children of Israel was to take them into the promised land, to give them this abundant Christian life. And to do that, he had to give them victory after victory. And as he would give them victory, he would tell them, okay, you have to get rid of that. Listen, don't spare for their crying. Don't spare for their crying and their crying out and don't feel bad for them. And listen, what he's talking about there for an application to us is don't listen to that old flesh that cries out, but I really like that, but I really need that, and I don't really think there's anything wrong with that, and I feel like I can just keep on going with that. God said, no, get rid of that. It's going to pull you away from me. Well, it's not really evil. It may not, listen, it doesn't have to be evil to be distracting. Do you understand that? It doesn't have to be evil and wicked to be enticing and pull you the wrong direction. It doesn't have to be. And I want God to use this church. I do. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't know. There's some things God's told me this week for me that I know that I need to do. And then there's things that God has showed me for us to do. But see, I can only take care of what it is that I'm supposed to do. And so I'm standing here before you today. And I'm asking you, do you feel dried up? Do you feel dead? Do you feel like God's got no use for you? If you do, there's an altar up here. And there's a God waiting here to breathe life into your old dead bones. And he wants to put you somewhere where you can live. He wants to pull you up out of that grave so that you might live. But don't be mistaken. It's not so you can live for you. It's so you can live for him. Every head bowed and every eye closed.